Just a super quick warning that we will be discussing sort of kind of heavy themes, in particular religion, sexuality, misogyny, loss of innocence, etc. So this is an unbleeped version of our thoughts as they come to us. And as Sam says, just like don't let your kids listen to it because it's too much pressure.
Hello and welcome to A Hopeless Endeavor, a Joanna Newsom podcast. This episode is part two of the song 81, the third song on the first vinyl of the album Have One On Me. My name is Sam. I live in Vancouver, British Columbia.
I am Nikki. I live in Ithaca in upstate New York.
So far, we've covered the entire album of Ys. We've done an album art on Ys. We've done Colleen. We've done Easy and Have One On Me. If you're still here with us, thank you so much for being here. And please enjoy this second part of 81.
I hope you guys enjoy it. Send us your thoughts and theories about anything we've ever covered, especially the songs to come on Have One On Me. But yeah, enjoy our half-assed, no, not half-assed, half-baked conclusion.
Half-baked. Yeah.
We tried really hard. Sure. It was not half-assed.
We always try. It doesn't always measure up, but we get somewhere.
Enjoy.
And our next verse is, "The wandering eye that I have caught is as hot as the wandering sun, but I will want for nothing more in my garden, start again in my hardening to every heart but one." Interesting that you catch a wandering eye.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think you said this already, but like, who is it that's watching? A wandering eye, I thought, meant like, if you're in a relationship with someone, they're like always have an eye out elsewhere.
Yep.
So I wonder if it's our narrator's wandering eye, considering that she caught it.
Right. Like the disease of the wandering eye.
Yeah. Is as hot as a wandering sun.
Yeah. I think I want to say this was on Rachel Parent's Blessing All the Birds post on this song, but I think she had said, like, I'm not sure how to take this verse, to be honest. And she was like, one interpretation is that the wandering eye that she's caught is like the dude in this song with whom she's having a relationship, or like will go on to have a relationship with. And so it was like him whose eye she caught. But this other interpretation is that it's like God. So on that interpretation, like the next line where she says that it's as hot as a wandering sun, she's like, maybe S-U-N is like a play on like S-O-N, right?
And she's done that before.
She has. I forget when, but she has done that.
We've had this conversation before.
Yes. God damn it. I can't remember. Seven suns, but that wasn't it, I don't think.
I forget which way it went to.
I was going to say sun and only skin, but I don't think that was it either somehow. Who the fuck knows?
Anyway, someone can tell us. That's fine.
But yeah, like on the interpretation that it's God, like the hot as a wandering sun / like this idea of this religious morality being imposed on her again. I think a very like idiosyncratic association that I made where it's just me and like the very particular things that I've read throughout my life. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't help but couple the first line of this verse, so the wandering eye that I have caught, with the last line of the previous verse, as naked as a trout. And it only made me think of that poem by Margaret Atwood called You Fit Into Me. And it's a four-line poem. All it says is, you fit into me like a hook into an eye, where she means, like, you know, the needle, like a sewing needle, and, like, there's, like, the eye of the needle, and to sew, you, like, hook the thing through. But then, like, the next lines are a fish hook, an open eye.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, look, in this verse, in this like two lines, we have the fish, the trout being mentioned. We have the wandering eye in question. And then we have like the catching of a fish, like the hook that you would use, like not the thing that is caught in this line is the eye, but still it just like, I don't know, jumbled all those images together in my brain.
I really like and hate that.
That's gross.
It's a terrible visual. Yeah, and I think in her article too, Rachel mentions just like the eye as just like the general male gaze.
Right. Right.
Because she's laying there sinning so hard
in her nakedness.
Yeah. I will want for nothing more in my garden. Nothing more as in what? Nothing more than like the peace and like loneliness?
I don't know.
Does she find pleasure in this wandering eye, I wonder? Like, yeah. If it's making her feel hot.
Yeah.
I want to assume that's a pleasurable thing.
Right. And then to me, it's funny. I'm like, ugh, the heat. I'm like too Canadian for this. But yeah, no, you might be right. Like, in my head, I think I always just like very like just tacitly without thinking about it, assume that it was that she would want for nothing more than like the person to whom the wandering eye belongs. Like, so she's caught this like dude in a way, and then like she's gonna want for nothing more. Like, she can make her whole life happy, you know, focusing on their relationship, especially like with the hardening to every heart but one line after. She just, it's like sort of like in my head, it was always kind of like an easy vibe, like the song Easy vibe, where she's like, look, I am dedicated to this relationship. And like, I am, you know, I have been socialized my whole life to think that this is what like happiness amounts to. And so I'm ready to like, you know, never want anything more than this.
Because she has the garden. I will want anything more in my garden. You know, she has the land she can till. They have the stream. They have the heat. I'm assuming they can grow stuff.
Yeah. And like, if Rachel Parent was right before, like she has her own body too. Like, she has her own shit going on and her own individuality. And she's not just defining herself in relation to whatever other person is in question here. I really like too the start again line.
Yeah.
It's just like, it at once feels like refreshing and like a rebirth, which is like very much, I think, a theme in this song. By the way, in the Genius lyrics that I'm looking at right now, she says, or it's written, but I will want for nothing more in my garden, colon, start again. In my hardening to every heart but one. Is that the way? Okay.
Yeah.
Then in which case, like, it seems as though, like, the start again is somehow then, I guess, related to the thing that, like, she will want for nothing more. Like, she won't ever want anything more than just whatever we're going to focus our shit on now. Like, this relationship, I guess. Wipe the slate clean and, like, start fresh and, like, also, it brings to mind to me, like, let's not be, like, bogged down with, like, the impositions of whatever, like, gender expectations or, like, Christian expectations or, like, whatever we've been told. Like, let's just start fresh.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to love you.
This hardening to every heart but one, too, maybe, like, explains away why she's there by herself. Or with this wandering eye only.
Yeah. You know what, too? There's this kind of interesting, perhaps, like, comparison or contrast between the Garden of Eden myth where Eve is the one who's being tempted by the snake. And obviously snakes and penises are, like, right there with each other. But here, like, she's lying naked as a trout by the spring, and the person being tempted, the person whose I is wandering, right? Which you're right, like, always means like a cheating sort of, if like my partner's eye is wandering, that means they're like looking for like whatever other sexual shit. But yeah, here it's like the other person's being tempted by her nakedness, whereas before it was like mm-hmm. Eve being tempted, right?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah,
it's like role reversal of, oh, the role reversal thing that I just said, it makes me think of, I looked up Wandering Sun to see if it was anything mm-hmm. and okay, Wandering S-U-N, which is how it's spelt in this line, is a Japanese manga comic, or I don't know if it's appropriate to call it a comic, whatever, novel, graphic novel. And the plot didn't seem super relevant to any of what Joanne is talking about here. So I was like, oh, whatever, I don't know. But then I looked up Wandering S-O-N to see if there was anything. Mm-hmm. And it's another Japanese manga novel. But in this one, I thought it was interesting and like very possibly a coincidence. But the Wandering S-O-N is written by Takako Shimura. And it apparently deals explicitly with gender identity and gender role reversal. So I think it deals with a trans girl, I want to say, and just explores like this like role reversal based on like gender expectations. And it could just totally be a coincidence, but I thought it was interesting that like maybe she was, I don't know, had read that.
Yeah, I mean, I want to assume at this point that nothing's a coincidence.
Right.
Everything's there. For
reasons, yeah, at so. Least nothing's off the table, man. She's well read.
Yeah, exactly. Man, I wish we had enough time to be, to read every reference that we came upon God, here.
Me too.
I think that's one regret I have about doing this podcast, is that like we could talk for 16 more hours.
Maybe that's what we should make our Patreon about, is like any reference that is like tangentially related, we go through and like see if there's any Joanna related content.
Okay, are you ready for the next verse?
Yes. Is it me?
Yeah.
Okay. Meet me in the Garden of Eden. Bring a friend. We are going to have ourselves a time. We are going to have a garden party. It's on me. No siree. It's my dime.
She really elongates those vowels.
Yeah.
When I was listening to it today too, as I walked, I was like, wow, like those are some long wheeze. Uh-oh.
Oh my God.
My bike just fell over.
Oh, it's your bike. I was like, her cat jumped.
No. It's okay. Oh, okay. Fuck. Oh, it's going to be a mess. Just a second.
Yeah.
Okay. Hello.
All good?
All good. I bumped it on the way up and was like,
oh no. So I forget, you were in the middle of saying something when that happened.
Oh,
do you remember? Oh, the vowels. You were saying the vowels were
just
stretched
like
up.
The super long vowels.
Yeah.
We no siree.
Yep.
And I'm sure it happens elsewhere in the song too.
It's nice though.
Yeah, it's very sweet. And mm-hmm. I think it places emphasis on, you know, we go from I to we.
Yeah.
And that we could just be because our narrator's inviting us to the garden with them, with her. And we are the ones who are going to have a party with her. But I mean, I wish that would be incredible. But it could also be whoever the wandering eye is, I guess.
Yeah, but I like the first interpretation that you said, because she's just saying, like, you know, even if the you in question is somebody else, like one person, she's saying, like, bring a friend. Like, all of us are going to have ourselves a time, you know? She's just being so welcoming here. It's just nice. Like,
the garden party in the Garden of Eden?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds incredible.
Sounds amazing. Like, garden party? Like, I never even, like, appreciated that pun before, but like the garden party in the Garden of Eden is is hilarious.
The most epic garden party of all time. And it's on me. Like, she's not going to let us bring anything. This isn't a potluck.
No, it's not a potluck. She's gonna pay for us. Like, this is the part, too, where, like, the previous song on this album was Have One On Me. And the way she was saying Have One On Me was so, like, sarcastic almost. Not sarcastic, but, like, dripping with this, like, resentment. Like, will you have one on me? Meanwhile, I will raise my own glass to how you made me fast and expendable, and I will drink to your excellent health and your cruelty. Like, it's so dark and sad. And here, I think she's maybe doing the same thing where she's like, it's on me. Like, but, like, in this very different mood where she's saying, like, I will still bear the brunt of, you know, the costs of, like, the way that our society works. It's still on me, but, like, it's okay. Like, I want to be the person to provide this for people. And I just like that shifting of attitude, but, like, almost the same words, you know?
Sorry, I was distracted for a second because your hair matches, like, your headphones. I can't see. And so your hair blends perfectly. And Nikki has this incredible, like, Garden of Eden, super, like, rainbow floral background with a snake and an apple. And, like, for a second, you just looked like you were, like, hiding in the flowers. Know what else to say. That, like, it's funny. I feel like it's a joke too. It's my dime. Yeah. Like, wherever we are in time and space, there's no money. Like, for Lola Montez, sure, there was money. Yes. Maybe for an easy narrator, but there can't be here, right?
No, and I think you're right. There is this, like, irony of, like, yeah, sure, it's my dime, but, like, also that means nothing, but, like, it's fine. Yeah. Like,
well, you have everything you need in the garden. Yeah. Like, you don't need to spend any money because everything's here.
Yeah, I'm still unclear. Like, yeah, she's saying meet me in the Garden of Eden, so it has to be. But I'm so unclear if we're supposed to be thinking of the Garden of Eden as the actual place in the Bible or this, like, place that she's calling the Garden of Eden, which is, like, this metaphorical place that is not magical at all. It is just, like, in the society, but it's nature in a way that's, like, nourishing and providing, like, that in a way that mimics the way that the Garden of Eden is supposed to be. But, you know, it's a myth.
We should note, to that, at least everywhere I read about the Garden of Eden, the G in garden is capitalized, and in her, in the official lyrics, it's not. Eden is.
Oh, that's a really, really good point.
But garden is not.
Oh, shit. I didn't notice that at all. All right. I like that point a lot, and it, again, is, like, the same kind of vibe where it just takes away the sacredness of this one place, and it's like, no, like, nature is our God.
Nature is our God. Anything else to say there?
I do not have anything else to say there, I don't think.
Oh, God, the end is coming so soon.
I know, it really is. It really is. Sorry, the quick one other thing I had to say is just I really like the, like, there's something to me that, like, seems so wonderfully simple about the phrasing of we are going to have ourselves a time. It just seems so, like, it sounds like the way that, like, you know, our friends would talk to each other rather than, like, Joanna, who's, like, the most, like, elegant, like, eloquent writer. She's like, we're just gonna have ourselves a time. Like, it's just I don't know, it just seems like really simple, but in a way that makes me smile.
And it makes me think of, like, you know, if you're describing a party that you had with your friends that was, like, especially wild or especially silly, you would just say, like, man, it was a time.
It was a time. Yeah, that's what we're gonna have ourselves.
Yeah, please invite us.
All right. I will give this next one to you, please.
We broke our hearts in the war between St. George and the dragon, but both in equal part are welcome to come along. I'm inviting everyone. So I think the annoying thing about the St. George and the dragon story is, like, how different I found every version.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, that's fine. History or non-history fairy tales have different interpretations. So the dragon was a dragon that demanded, so, you know, wherever we are in time and space, this is a dragon, and these villagers are living and they're coexisting together. The dragon demanded tribute from the villagers, first in the form of livestock and trinkets. And once the villagers ran out of those things, at like an annual human tribute, an annual human sacrifice had to occur. According to Spanish folklore, the villagers accepted this until a well-loved princess was to be sacrificed. Many villagers offered to take her place, but she refused and accepted her fate. But right before she was eaten, St. George shows up. I have a feeling he doesn't ask if she wants to be saved. The saint wins, and apparently like a single rose blossom from where the dragon's blood landed. George picked it and gave it to the princess. This is like a super old tale. The oldest known record of this tale is linked to a Georgian text of the 11th century, but it has many ties to other saints and pre-Christian narratives. My favorite one is from the Blessing All the Birds article by Rachel, which she summarizes beautifully, and I'll just quote her here, just because it's so different from the other ones I read.
Yeah.
A dragon invades a small village, taking up residence in the pond that provides the villagers with their water. In order to gain access to the now filthy water, the villagers are required to submit one of their own as a payment to the dragon. This is drawn by the drawing, done by the drawing of lots. On one occasion, the king's daughter is selected. Though the king wishes to change the laws to protect his daughter, the villagers insist that the pact be honored. St. George happens upon the village just as the king's daughter is being given over to the dragon. He vows to save her, even though she tells him to flee the dragon's wrath. The dragon becomes aware of St. George's presence, and the fight begins. After brandishing the sign of the cross and wounding the dragon with his sword, St. George asks the king's daughter to throw him her girdle. He uses the girdle to collar the dragon and leads the beast back down to the village, king's daughter's in tow. The villagers are ecstatic, but St. George tells them he will only finish off the dragon if they convert to Christianity. They agree, the dragon is slain, the king's daughter is safe, and the pond is miraculously cleaned. A spring within the pond begins producing water that cures all disease and ill in the village. It just seems like a fucking conspiracy theory. I feel like St. George put the dragon in the water on a mission to make everyone believe in Christianity.
But yeah.
I am just one small person. What do I know?
I mean, it just sound like this. It's just lame. Like,
it's just yucky.
Yeah. I agree with you, Sam, that I really like the way that Rachel Parent puts this better than like the other versions. And in particular, in her description of it, I like the detail that in order to tame the dragon, St. George uses the girdle of the princess, like the king's daughter, which like sort of speaks to like the like using female sexuality to accomplish this like larger goal, right, which is like to spread Christianity across the land or whatever. And that speaks to like Eve's sexuality being repressed in that same way, and women in general in our society, sexualities and autonomy and bodies being repressed in that way.
And she also didn't ask for his help.
No, she did not ask for his help. And I also, so in that essay, the wonderful essay by Rachel Parent, I think she's sort of thinking of the narrator of this song as being comparable to the king's daughter, which I think is fair. But given that the story starts out with the dragon like taking up residence in the pond, in the body of water, it made me think of her lying naked as a trout next to the spring. And I was like, what if Joanna, like, not Joanna, what if the narrator is the dragon? Like, what if the narrator is, like, the one who's, like, taking up space and, like, being rejected by this whole community and, like, being seen as threatening when, like, really, it's like a Wicked style, like Wicked and the Wizard of Oz style reinterpretation of the dragon's business there.
I really, really prefer that interpretation only because it places the power in the hands of our narrator.
Yeah.
In the next verse, and I was confused where this came from, but now it makes a lot more sense to me. Our narrator says, "Even muddiest waters mm-hmm. run. Mm-hmm. Tell me what is meant by sin or none." And I think if we're framing our narrator as the dragon, that's really, really cool.
Yeah. And the idea that, like, they wouldn't understand, that the dragon wouldn't understand what is meant by sin or none.
Mm-hmm.
They're just naked as a trout. Like, they're just chilling in the water.
Yeah. Oh, I went back and forth. We went back and forth with Melissa Marchuano with via email a little bit this week. And one of the points that she made was the creation of female dependence on men through food, drugs, drink, specifically in Have One on Me. And like the connections to sex work and performance and control through all of these things.
Yeah.
The dragon in this story has a huge control over the water for sure. And by muddying it, but then George also, St. George, I don't want to call him St. George also does, like, by casting a magic spell and cleaning it too, like, get out of here. And it also made me think of when he throws the girdle or whatever. Remember how Lola Montez met the king of Bavaria by, like, him asking something about her breast?
Yes.
And then her ripping it open.
Yeah, like showing him her tits to, like, yeah.
And then just, like, the general idea of, throw Joanna's music of how kind of potent the metaphors of clothing are.
Yes.
Like, we have Bear's threadbare coat. We have Lola Montez's corset, which isn't, like, explicitly in the lyrics, but I think is a big... Oh, no, it is, isn't it?
Sorry, I know that there's, like, spiders crawling all over her skirts and stuff. Shake her skirts and scatter them. Is there a corset? I can't remember. There's also, like, the stuff in Bear, like, her diluvian mantle and her, there's other clothes, shit. Apron. The apron of boulders. Threadbare coat, as you had said. Yeah, but, like, yeah.
Palola, a tarantula's mounting, Countess Lansfield's handsome brassiere while they all cheer.
Yeah.
And I think we said that that was maybe, like, when they first met. Who knows? But just, like, the attention to detail in the clothing that these characters wear and use.
Yes.
And Melissa brought that back to all of the references of, like, restrictive female clothing in Go Long as well.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah. Yeah, that's,
like... Colleen as well, I guess.
Yes, right? Absolutely in Colleen with the, like, they, you know... put clothes on me and shod my feet and showed me prayers for chastity. It's very much that same vibe. And the idea of, like, these clothes serving as this restriction on women in particular and their, like, nature, right? Like, we're supposed to be hiding and covering up, like, in a way that just, like, isn't true of men. Like, there's just not that same, like, cover up your sacred, like, pure, whatever, bodies.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think that's a great point. I also just, again, like, love her openness and welcomeness, the narrator's openness and welcomeness here, where she's just saying, like, look, we have St. George, who I think Sam and I feel the same way towards, just, like, rolling our eyes at him, like, okay, whatever. Prince,
and I just realized too, like, the version that Rachel has in the blog post there is more of a reference to Andromeda from Greek mythology.
Oh,
unless I just copy and pasted this weird. Just a second. Oh, no, it's not. I must have just copy and pasted this weird. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Any sort of, like, potential connection to, like, the cosmic cosmos. When you were reading the St. George and the Dragon thing, I hadn't read before the, like, a rose, the blood and the rose part. And I was like, oh, my God. clam crap cockle catry with like the feels so good to be a rose, and then like there are some dragons who are built to have and hold.
Yeah, but that's a good connection too.
I think that's just like a tinfoil hat connection. Yeah. One thing about this verse, the We Broke Our Hearts verse, that I think is cool is the idea that, I think Rachel Parent had said this in the blog post, but that the point at which we like were really in trouble, or like the thing that really hurt us, was this war between St. George and the dragon. Like, first giving, it's not just like, you know, the description of the event is not just like St. George slayed the terrible dragon. It's like rather a war where there are like these, like, you know, equal parts, like these like two things with like legit claims who are each fighting against each other. But then also, yeah, like that's the point at which our hearts broke, not at the fall from Eden, because like we don't need that. Mm-hmm. We don't need to like pretend to be in a paradise, but rather when we started having to like filter the world through the impositions of Christianity, or perhaps like the expectations of gender, you know, where like St. George is a savior and the princess is like the helpless, like Mario princess Peach figure. I'm sorry, Mario, your princess is in another castle. Like, yeah, like that is the thing that broke us, right? It's not that we don't live in paradise. It's that like shit's fucked up.
Yeah. And I think our narrator's saying here, you know, like very, in a very kind way, like maybe that's where our hearts were broken, but both in equal part are yeah. welcome to come along. Like before this war happened, you were just a dragon and you were just a man.
Yeah.
I'm inviting everyone to this Eden.
Yes. Yeah, it's not you broke my heart in this war. It's yeah. like our hearts, we're both broken in this. And you're right. She's not like, it's so intentionally, I think, not blamey, right? She's like, no, like all of these sides are understandable. Like we're all just people trying to like get by and like being influenced in the various ways in which we are influenced. But like as she says later, like she believes in the good of everyone, right? Like she believes in all of our like little humanities.
Mm-hmm. The good and the bad.
Yeah.
And it's like a greater understanding of like sin and perfection.
Yes.
You know, like you take the shit with the good shit.
Yes.
And that's okay.
Yeah. And it's like almost nice. Like it's almost just like the idea of like just accepting the flaws along with the good stuff is just like, it's comforting in this way that we've been talking about throughout this whole song. It's just like this soothing vibe where you're like, yeah, it's okay that I'm imperfect. And like, it's okay that I've been influenced by gender expectations and by religious expectations and just broader societal expectations. Like all of it's okay. Like, let's just gather.
And I think just kind of speaks to like the goodness of humans in some sense.
Yeah.
Like, as a people, we need to understand that, like, there's a lot of shit going on everywhere, and I think at their core, people do their best.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if we are led astray.
Yeah.
Once in a while.
I love the idea that people are just doing their best. Like, I just am so into that idea. And I feel like right now, especially in, like, just our cultural moment, it's, like, not a popular idea at all. Like, it feels really good to blame people. And I think that, like, often, like, justice kind of requires that in, like, certain contexts. But I just think that the more accurate way of looking at it is, like, yeah, some people absolutely have it way easier than other people and are way more privileged than other people. But, like, also, we don't have to think that, like, everyone's just, like, evil intentioned. And I'm sure there are people who, are, you know, are. But, like, everyone's just, like, shaped. I don't know. Kindness prevails.
I don't know if you can hear it on our voices, but I feel like we're both like, oh, it's so. Hey, I have kindness prevails as my last note.
You do?
I do.
Wait, what was the thing you were saying we could hear in our voices?
Just that we're sad that the episode.
I know. I don't want to stop recording. It's been so long since we recorded. I don't want to be done. But it's spring break for you, so you just have to tell me whenever it like is good to record next, because I'm so down. I just cannot wait to do this shit. I mean,
Good Intentions Paving Company is next, which is like a
yay
real fun one. And it's really long, too.
It is so. Really long, and it's so fun, and there's so much going on.
Yeah.
Yay.
So our next verse is... farewell to loves that I have known, even muddiest waters run. Tell me what is meant by sin or none in a garden seceded by the union in the year of AD 1.
Wait, seceded from or by the union?
Here it's from the union.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Did I say by?
I think
seceded
so.
Seceded from the union.
Yeah. Just the acceptance of the farewell to loves that I have known. It's like this nice, just like, I wish you well, like genuine sentiment that is not, again, bitter or resentful. It's just like this nice acknowledgement of like, we're parting ways and it doesn't need to be worse than it is. I like too that even muddiest waters run. So there's like the dragon being in the water interpretation of that we've already discussed. But then there's also, like, again, the, like, not blamey vibe that we just discussed, which is, like, even if you're, like, a shitty, like, whatever, like, corrupt-ish individual, right? Like, you're a muddy, complicated person. Even those, you know, like, waters of humanity or something, right? Like, vibes of just, like, humanness are running through you. That's at least the way I take this. It also reminds me of that line. It's in some song that's very, it's in this, on this album, On a Good Day, I think. She says, it is water though it's frozen. Like, it's the same sort of vibe where it's like, even though like on the surface, we can't see that this is the same substance that we're dealing with the whole time, right? Like, in this case, it's water, even though it's muddy, and it's like running, even though it's muddy. And in On a Good Day, it's frozen, but it's still water. I don't know. Just gives me a similar sort of vibe.
I think, yeah. And I think musically it's a similar vibe too, right? Because On a Good Day is just her and the harp as well.
That sounds right.
And it does have a similar rhyming scheme as well, just looking at it now.
Man, in my head even, I just like conflate On a Good Day and 81 in my head. On a Good Day, okay. I just wanted to see if they were like related on the discs, but no. On a Good Day is the first track on the second disc.
I just looked over and I'm doing the same thing. Interesting.
I wonder too if like that same like, if like it is true that 81 and Autumn are connected, the third, so 81 is the third song on the first disc, Autumn is the third song on the third disc, and the third song on the second disc is in California. So I don't know if there's any similarities that you all can sort of pick up on between 81 and In California, or Autumn and In California, but I'd be curious if anybody has any ideas on that.
I mean, there's this, the verse in California that just references like a land that's like, when I came into my land, I did not understand neither dry knot nor the burn pile, nor the bark beetle, nor the dry well, nor the black bear. Yeah. Those are all things that could have existed in the garden as well.
Yeah.
Content to see my garden grow so sweet and full of someone else's flowers, man.
Oh my God, totally, Sam. And like it is, at least like if we're right about this, like it, sort of like referencing that she's like innocent. She was innocent before, right? And like it all turned out to be a lot more complicated than this like really innocent interpretation. But like, yeah, I don't know. I like that planting, and like when I came into my land, where she's like talking here about, you know, she claimed her little plot of land.
There's also, where did it go? There's also this line, while moving across my land, brandishing themselves like a burning branch, makes me think of the guards.
Oh, yeah.
With their fire swords on the outside, quiet as gondoliers. I have a note here in ribbon bows. She sings, there is a spring not far from here. The water runs both sweet and clear. Both sweet and clear and cold could crack your bones with veins of gold. So the water's gone from muddied to clear by the end of the album, or near the end at least.
Ribbon Bows is what track on what disc? It's the third disc?
It's the third disc, third vinyl, fourth track, right after Autumn. Oh, I can't even look at Baby Birch.
Seriously, we can't even look at, yeah.
Man, what are we talking about?
Joanna needs some. People think that Autumn is like the worst song on the album. Autumn and No Provenance, don't get it, because those two songs are fucking delightful and beautiful to me. And I'm excited that I don't think you feel passionately about No Provenance, but I am here to convince you.
I just, as a whole.
Yeah.
Don't feel as passionate about this album.
Yeah.
Don't come for me. I don't feel as passionate about this album as a whole. Oh my God. I don't feel as passionate about this, the entirety of this album, as I do.
East.
As like, as passionate as I, words are gone. East for me is the be all end all, right? Like, I love Have One on Me. Yeah. I love it in bits and pieces more than I can say that I love the entire thing. And I do love the entire thing. Yeah. There's nothing I dislike about it. But, I'll feel differently by the end of, you did it for Have One on Me. Like, by the end of Have One on Me, you were like, this is not, I was just like, syphilis. Nikki, maybe by the time we finish does not suffice. I'll be covered in Have One on Me.
I hope so. I love how like your reaction to East is like Sisyphus, and then your reaction to Have One on Me is syphilis. And I agree. Like, I mean, I like East more, but I also think that like, at least for me, I just underestimated or underrated Have One on Me in my own mind for way too long.
Yeah.
And
I think that's where I'm at right now, too. And I think we'll get there.
We'll get there. Totally. Okay. Yeah.
Where were we on the song that we're actually talking about? Farewell to the loves that I have known, even muddiest waters run. Yeah. Tell me what is meant by sin or none in a garden seceded from the union. In the year of 80.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So oh my God. Also, just a line, tell me what is meant by sin or none, is such a nice way of putting like the like ambivalence or like sort of like just irrelevance of there being like sin or none. It's just like a name we put on the actions that are going to happen.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. It's in the same vein. It's the same kind of vibe as Dirt and Dirt is all the same.
Yes. Yes.
Like, you tell me one thing, you tell me this is this.
Yeah.
Holy, holy of holiest places. But man, that's just some dirt. You tell me sin is like the be all end all of existence, and it's also none.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So what is meant by sin or none? In a garden seceded from the union in the year of 81. So there's like this like really perhaps maybe fun interplay between old times and modern-ish times, so like, or like old times and like maybe our narrator's current life. So like, I mean, the first thing that I think of when I think of seceded from the union, right, is like, I don't know, either the Confederacy seceding from the union or like, I don't know, something American. I don't know American history well enough to like know what the Union refers to if it's not in the Civil War here. But I think I read somewhere that the Revolutionary War ended in 1781, I want to say here. So 1781, obviously referencing the year 81. Oh, by the way, I don't think we ever said that the title of this song is like apostrophe 81. So it like really mm-hmm. does, it's like, you know, invocative of either like 1981 or 1880, like some year is coming before mm-hmm. the 81. So like if it is the Revolutionary War, then like 1781 is the year that the states were like, hey, fuck you, King George, we're done with your shit. And like George, King George / Saint George, that would be fun. A fun little comparison here. Yeah. And then there's the like seceded from the Union in like older times interpretations where it's the union of God with the people. I think I read this on Genius. I don't know. It's a very like tenuous, like loose connections that like I don't quite know how to make sense of, but they're maybe there. Yeah. And then also someone had mentioned on, I think Genius, the just like perhaps referencing of American history or like America in general in this last part of this verse is sort of a nice primer for the following song on the album, which is Good Intentions Paving Company, right? Which, I mean, actually, I just thought of this, but like A deals with Satan, right? Because it's like the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So like there is this like devil-y Christian vibe happening there. But then also the like, you know, the line where she says, the tilt of the strange nation, like there's this part and like the flag, waving the flag. Mm-hmm. She's like talking about this like weird patriotism that happens or that maybe she feels. It's not quite wholehearted. It's very
waving the flag, feeling it drag. There's some weight.
Yeah. Yeah. There's like some baggage that comes with this goddamn country. It's just like a nice way to sort of end 81 as it leads into Good Intentions. I think that's kind of a cool connection that I wouldn't have noticed if it weren't for this lovely thing that we're doing.
Yeah, I wouldn't either, for sure.
Are we at the last verse?
I guess so.
Okay. I will say it.
Speak it into existence.
Here it is. The unending amends you've made. Wait, I want to say it again. The unending amends you've made are enough for one life. Be done. I believe in innocence, little darling. Start again. I believe in everyone. I believe, regardless, I believe in everyone. The end.
Goodbye forever.
Goodbye forever.
I mean, I don't have much here except that, like, humans are good, people are good, regardless of where we end up. The choices and non-choices we make. My last note is kindness, kindness, kindness prevails. Mm-hmm.
I really love, there's something that just speaks to me again in this like super soothing, comforting way of just the phrasing and the sentiment of the unending amends you've made are enough for one life, be done. It's so comforting. It's like this, like taking this step back and saying to someone like, look, you're frantically like trying to make up for some like original sin, right? That like you didn't do, like it's fine. Just like settle down and like stop feeling guilty in the way that, again, like Christianity wants you to feel guilty about, like, you know, existing. The original sin is that you exist. So like, and it's unending too. Like the idea of just describing someone else's trying to make good as unending is so, it's just like this nice way of saying to someone like, hey, like there is no amount of good doing that you could do to like make yourself feel better about this. Like it's really about the way that you feel and are relating to the situation rather than like any wrongs that you've done that you have to right. Mm-hmm. It like more speaks to the person's compulsion with trying to right their wrongs than to speaking to like the fact that they've done any wrong in the first place. And I just really love the, that's enough for one life, be done. Like, it's just nice.
And it's really offering you an opportunity to start again, right? Like, the narrator says it more than once. I want for nothing more in my garden, start again. Yeah. I believe in innocence, little darling, start again.
Yeah.
I believe in everyone. Like, it really is just like a disregarding of the limits that Christianity has placed on whoever, whatever.
Yeah.
Throughout the song, and I think just in general.
Like, let's wipe the slate clean.
Yeah, let everyone back in the garden. Everyone deserves this kind of peace.
Yes. Like, yes. And like,
especially Eve.
Especially Eve. God damn it. Especially Eve. And like, we are not all born having already done something wrong. Like, let's get rid of this fucking notion that just makes everyone feel guilty and shameful. Like, that is the last thing we need. We need to be there for each other and support each other. And we're not inherently bad. That's like another main message of this, is that we're just not inherently bad.
Yeah.
Also, the little darling, like, makes me think of Monkey and Bear, but then also of what else am I thinking of? Little darling, I feel it comes up at some point.
Dance, darling, and I'll love you still. That's still.
Yeah. Oh. Is there another song?
There's a YouTube video that's a compilation of every time Joanna Newsom says baby, darling, or honey. Look at that.
I've seen that. I mean, oh my God, yes.
Did you make that video?
I did not make that video. I'm not good enough with technology. Joanna Newsom, darling. Okay. It's like, play it for a second, Sam. It's like so funny. It's like, darling, 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 darling.
Oh, it's just her singing it. I thought it was like in context.
No. Mm-mm. My little darling.
Wow, she really says it a lot.
She really does. I know. We don't like notice it. Yeah. In Cosmia, she says, my little darling, I couldn't keep the night from coming in. And here she, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Little darling. I love that she uses the word little to just be like, sweetie, little honey guy. It's okay.
Yeah, especially if we're imagining our narrator as this big old dragon. Right? Like, that's a really nice, really nice, cute, funny image there.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, she believes in everyone, you guys. That means you too. Be comforted.
That for sure means you too. I'm a little shocked at us here. We're only 3 hours and
10 minutes. It's the quickest we've ever been.
Yeah.
That's okay. It's the shortest song by far that we've covered. So thank you guys so much for listening to all of our analysis on 81. And if you've listened to stuff that has come before, thank you so much for listening to that too. We really appreciate it. And we're so grateful for just, I don't know, the presence and support of you guys and the people who comment and review and talk to us through the various means available. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah. Thank you guys. If you want to get in touch with us, our email address is ahopelessendeavor@gmail.com. Our Instagram is ahopelessendeavorpodcast. Nikki runs our Facebook group.
Hopeless Endeavor, Joanna Newsom Podcast. We also have a Patreon. So thank you guys so much to those of you guys who have become patrons of our Patreon. We really, 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 really appreciate it from the bottom of our hearts. I will link to the Patreon account in the show notes. So if that's something that you're interested in, it'll be there. No worries at all if you're not in a position to be able to do that, though. Like, we very much understand. Incentive to do so is that we release episodes early, so I try to get them out on like Monday or Tuesday before the Saturday that they're normally posted. And then actually Sam and I just finished recording our first bonus episode for patrons, so I'm not really sure exactly when that's going to come out, but you know, stay tuned. So yeah, anyways, thank you guys so much.
Yes, thanks guys. Oh,